Father, we turn again to your word, thankful that it's been preserved for us, and that through the years, through the centuries, through the millennia, your word has proven to be from you, and that when your word is implemented, when it's put into practice, it works. It works. And why wouldn't it? Because you are the creator of all, the giver of life, the sustainer of life, and you know what makes our lives tick. So may we have the wisdom this morning to not only listen and be hearers of the word, but to be doers as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last night, as I mentioned in the prayer, we came to the end of daylight savings time, and we turned our clocks back an hour, so we had an extra hour of sleep this morning, and an extra hour of time today to do whatever it is we like. And whenever we come to this time of the year, I always think, man, it would be nice if we could have an extra hour like this every day, an extra hour to use as we please, not just to get an extra hour of sleep, but maybe an extra hour to spend with someone that we love. Back in the 1970s, there was a movie that starred the late Robin Williams. It was called Carpe Diem, The Dead Poets Society, and some of you who are older may remember that movie. It was about a teacher at an all-boys school. The school was called Helton. The teacher's name was Mr. Keating. And one day, when he opened the class, he gathered his boys together, and he brought them out into the hallway of the school, and he brought them in front of the trophy case. He said to one of his students, I'd like you to read this poem. And the poem was called Make Good Use of Time. Part of the poem goes like this. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Old time is still a-flying. And that same flower that smiles today, tomorrow may be a-dying. Mr. Keating asked the boys, so, what's this poem about? One of the boys said, well, sounds like the author was in a hurry. Mr. Keating said, wrong answer. And then he went on to say this, and I quote, the first words of this poem are Latin, carpe diem. They mean, seize the day. The poem is about the shortness of life and the certainty of death, and that we need to use our days, our hours, and our time wisely. Then Mr. Keating had the boys look at the trophy case. He said, see these boys? See them on their teams? He said, these boys were like you are today. Alive, full of dreams, full of ambition, and their hormones were running. But now, they're dead. They're dead. He said, the point of the poem, and my point to you today, is to listen to the boys pictured in this trophy case. Listen to them. Lean forward. Can you hear them speaking? They're saying, carpe diem. Seize the day. You'll never have today again. This evening when you put your heads down on your beds, this day will be finished forever. Now, we expect to have a day tomorrow, but this day is forever in the past. 2,000 years ago, the Spirit of God moved in the life of the Apostle Paul. And as we know, Paul started out as a persecutor of Christians, but something happened to him. His life was changed. He became a preacher of Jesus. He brought many people to become followers of Jesus. He planted churches. He wrote letters to those churches, and those letters we have in the New Testament today, the 13 letters of Paul to the churches. And in one of those letters, the letter to the church in Ephesus, Paul writes in chapter 5, verses 1 through 16, these words. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Among you, Ephesians, Christians in the city of Ephesus, among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things as these, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Here it is. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Making the most of every opportunity. Making the most of our time. Paul's literal words are translated in other versions of the Bible this way: redeeming the time. And the word that Paul uses here for time is the word kairos. Now, this is significant because there are actually two Greek words for time. The first is chronos, from which we get the English word chronology. Chronos is time in sequence, chronological time. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. But that's not the word he uses here. Redeeming the time. He uses the word kairos. And this word means opportunistic time, important time, decisive time. Paul is saying there are special moments in time in our lives that we must not miss. They are opportunities for us to be a blessing, to make a difference, to have an impact. Don't miss them. You and I have only one life to live. And we need to make the most of every opportunity in our lives. Me personally, I am painfully aware of the fact that most of my time is in the past. I've got way more time in the past than I have in my future. I've retired. My career in full-time ministry is over. It's true now for me than ever before in my life. I need to make the most of my opportunities because there aren't going to be as many of them in my future. I can't afford to let a moment, an hour, a day, a week be wasted. We need to seize the day, to seize the moment, to make the most of every opportunity to be a blessing. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. How does one do that? How does one make the most of every opportunity? How does one recognize opportunities? How does one make the most of an opportunity when it comes along and make it matter? How do we keep alert to this? In our passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul tells us how to do this. For some reason, I'm not advancing here in my slides. Did you do that or did I? You did it. Oh, okay. Well. So, in our passage of Scripture, in verses 1 and 2, Paul gives us the first way in which we can make sure that we redeem the time, that we make the most of every opportunity. He says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children," and here it is, "live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." Remember the story where a religious leader comes to Jesus and says, "What's the most important commandment in our religion? What's the most important? You like to talk about religion, Jesus. Now, what's the most important thing in our religion?" Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." What's the most important thing in life? According to Jesus, it's love. Now, I know it was a secular song, and I'm taking you way back again, but that's where I live most of my time in the past. The Beatles had it right. What the world needs now is love. More love. That's what there's just too little of. Now, we know this. But living with love and in love every moment of every day is the best way to use our time. And sometimes, in fact, a lot of times, living with love is not easy because we're surrounded by people who are not that lovable. It's easy for us to find fault in people rather than to look underneath and see their humanity and see that maybe they act the way they do because of things and hurts in their lives. And so we love them because we know what's going on beneath the surface. We can't see it, we can't identify it, but it's there. And we love them. And you and I have been dearly loved. So imitate God's love for you. You're a sinner. God knows you better than anybody, and he still loves you. Imitate that. Imitate the love of Christ, who gave himself sacrificially for us while we were still sinners. What does it look like to live in love? Well, in our passage of Scripture, we read chapter 5, but look at chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. There Paul says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice." And then he says this, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." So could we go back to that last slide? This isn't working. "Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." Now forward to the next slide again. "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." How do you redeem the time? How do you make the most of every opportunity every day? Be focused in that day upon loving people. Loving your boss, loving your coworker, loving your spouse, loving your children. Loving your mother who's dying, and maybe speaking out of not in the right mind, maybe demanding a lot of you because she's so needy. There are other ways to show love that Paul mentions here in our passage of Scripture. Can we move forward to the next slide? In verses 3 and 5, among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, a greedy person, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or of God. Now that's serious business. An impure person, an immoral person, a greedy person has no place in the kingdom of Christ. And often when we are sexually immoral, it's because we want to satisfy our own desires. That's selfishness. That we're not thinking about that other person. We're thinking about ourselves. So when we do think about someone else, we put their what's best for them ahead of what we wish. That's loving. And the next slide, verse 4. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which is out of place with us, but rather thanksgiving. That's positive speech. Oftentimes our speech is at the expense of someone else with criticism or jokes at someone else's expense. Paul is saying here, make the most of every opportunity to show love in your actions, in your thoughts, in your words. Look beneath the surface. They're hurting. Syndicated columnist and author who is now dead, Art Buchwald, liked to tell a story about a friend of his who got into the cab with Art one day and told the cabbie where they wanted to go. And when the cabbie brought them there, this friend said to the cabbie as he gave him his money, he said, "You just did an excellent job of driving. Thank you very much." Now, this is in New York City. The cabbie looks out of the corner of his eye at him and says, "What are you, some kind of a nut?" So Art asked his friend as they're walking down the street, "Why did you say that to him? You just got him angry." And the friend says, "Well, I'm trying to plant seeds of love. I want to change New York City. I want to change the attitude of New York City. I'm going to plant seeds of love wherever I can." They continue to walk down the street, and this man is greeting people cheerfully, and he's looking at people and smiling, and all of a sudden, a woman goes by, and she's nothing special to look at. She doesn't have that great a figure, but the friend winks at her. And she sees him, and she kind of smiles. Art says, "What in the world are you doing winking at a woman like that?" He says, "You know what? I suspect that that woman is a teacher. She's going to school. And her students are going to have a fantastic day today. Because she was feeling good. A guy winked at me." Spread a little cheer. Pass on the love of God in us, the love of Christ in us. That's how we make a difference in everyday life. 1 Corinthians 13, the next slide, please. Love is patient and kind. It doesn't envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered and impatient. keeps no list of how you've wronged me. Love does not delight in negative stuff. It rejoices in the truth. And it always acts that way. Not just when it's easy, not just when it feels loving. It always acts this way. That's what love is. Make the most of our time by living a life of love. Next slide. Next point that Paul makes in our passage of Scripture. Let us make wise use of our time by living as children of light. Verse 8. You were once darkness, he says to these Christians in the city of Ephesus. Once you lived in the darkness, but now you're light in the Lord Jesus. Live as children of light. That's who you are. That's what you are. Live who and what you are. You're light in a dark world. Next slide, Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, that they may see your good deeds, your love, and praise your Father. In other words, live this way, act this way, love this way. Let your light shine this way, but don't take the credit to yourself. See, I'm such a nice person. No, let it be clear that you are this way because of God's love for you and what Jesus Christ have done for you. And then people will give God the glory. In John chapter 8, verse 12, the next slide, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have, possess the light of life. If you're a follower of me, you got light in you. Let it shine. And in another place, in another letter to another church, the church in Philippi, Paul says, you are children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Maybe I overwork this, but you've heard me say a number of times, the last 13 years of my active ministry, I was in Iowa, in a little town in Iowa, 5,000 people. And you know, I'm kind of an outdoorsman, so I'm often out very early in the morning with my outdoor activities. And in Iowa, you don't have any of this light from the city interfering with the light from the heavens. So when you're outside, that black sky and those myriad of stars shine through, it is awesome. I could just stand and look at that sky. It is awesome. It's nothing like we've got here. I mean, it's nice here. I love it here. But the sky isn't the same here. It's the same up there, but you can't see it the same down here. Paul says, in that day and age, when they didn't have those big cities polluting the atmosphere with all their light, he says, you know, when you look up into the sky and you see the beauty of God's creation, he says, that's us. It's dark out there, but we bring a light that when people see it, they're awed by it. Be that light wherever you are. We're called to live as the light. We're called to live in the light. Verse 9 of our passage, the next slide. For the fruit of the light consists in goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's living as the light. We make a difference in how we use our time by living in goodness, righteousness, and truth. God tells us what goodness, righteousness, and truth are. The world doesn't tell us what it is. God tells us what it is. The Supreme Court doesn't tell us what's goodness, righteousness, and truth. God's word tells us what's truth and righteousness and goodness. And when we read it and live it out, the world sees it. and we are to live in the light. Verse 11, the next verse. Therefore, do not be partners with them. That is what people do in the darkness. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose it. Call a spade a spade. That's darkness. Don't partner with or have anything to do with the darkness. Expose it. That's how we use our time. Now, it's not that we go around with negativity all the time. This is bad, that's bad, don't do that. But when there are discussions, when the subject comes up, when people have opinions, you have a right to yours. And yours isn't just an opinion. If it comes from God's word, it is the truth. Speak the truth. Expose the darkness. That's how we make a difference. Are we any different from the darkness? Do our lives blend in? Do we like to just kind of shade things up again so that we don't stand out? Let your light shine. That's the way we make good use of our time. And finally, my last point. Let us make wise use of our time by living carefully. Verse 15. Be very careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity. Look for those opportunities. Make the most of it, because the days in which we live are evil. Now, it was then and it is today, because of the curse of sin. The world around us has been cursed by sin. We have been cursed by sin. But Jesus has redeemed us, set us free from the darkness. Now we know what the darkness is, and we've been given the light to share. So we are different. We need to take every moment to expose and not live in and be a part of the darkness, the evil. And in order to do that, we have to be careful. We have to be thoughtful. We have to be intentional. We have to look at what's going on around us, what we're doing, how we're talking, how we're working, what impact we're having. An unexamined life, said Socrates, an unexamined life, just kind of go through, coast through, don't even think about what's going on, just do what you do. And Socrates said, an unexamined life is not worth living. Be careful how you live. So tomorrow, when we go back to work and school and whatever it is we'll do tomorrow, be thinking, okay, I've got a day. Every day is an opportunity. Every day is a gift. How can I make the most of my time today? Love. I got to look for opportunities to love. And for those unlovable people, I got to look beneath the surface and I've got to treat them with love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not seek its own way. And be light, the light of Christ. What's the goodness and the righteousness and the truth and the justice of the world? How can I express that? How can I expose it? How can I live it? And I got to be careful about that. Moment by moment, thinking about the impact that my life has on others and my life has for Jesus upon others. And then the last slide is our passage. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. We've all been in schools and walked down the hallways where we see that trophy case. Maybe you've looked at the trophy case in your own high school and found a picture of yourself when you were in high school, when you were on a team, when you won the district championship or the state championship. Oh, those were the days. But it's past. It's over. That's done. Today, and whatever days we have in the future, that's what matters. And you can hear some of those classmates who've already died whisper, carpe diem. So with the rest of today, Lord God, we give you thanks for the opportunities of this day, for the opportunities that we will discover yet this afternoon and this evening. Perhaps opportunities that we will create by deciding, I'm going to make a visit. I'm going to make a telephone call. I'm going to sit down and write a note. I'm going to offer a prayer. I'm going to focus upon using my moments of time today to make a positive difference. Help us to live very carefully. In Jesus' name we pray.